a character study on John the Baptist. You may remember a couple of weeks ago, he got paid half his commission, as it were, and today he's this is the second box, block, etc., up for grabs. So if you think Steve does a good job of this, and you're inspired, challenged, encouraged by the story of John the Baptist, then this is up for grabs. But all joking aside, I just want to pray as we start today. And the reason I felt to do this is that we can sometimes move on over the characters and look at some of what they're saying, but this is a very central character in Scripture. Just going to pray, and then Steve's going to take us through the character study, and then we'll carry on at the after that. Father God, thank you, my brother, for his obedience, his prompting to do this, and for others that have helped him gather this together, that this be a good word for us today regarding your messenger who went before, and for the seed of that to go into our hearts and be a fruit that we, in turn, are your messengers going before the day of the great day of the Lord. So, Father, we thank you for what it is that Steve has got to bring, and we look forward to, Lord, what it is you're going to teach us through the life of your servant John the Baptist. Amen.
Okay, it's really interesting actually when Tony asked me to do it. I've never done a character study, but having done one now, I'm thinking about I want to do others. So, it's just started something in me for sure. So, this is just a rough picture of John the Baptist, how he lived. Okay, and if we can have the first one, please. Okay, John the Baptist. The parents' names were John, or his parents gave him the name John, and it was given to his father Zacchaeus, or Zacharias, by the angel Gabriel. And his mother's name was Elizabeth, who was barren. I mean she was, as you know, when you read the scriptures, she was barren when Mary came to visit, who was pregnant with Jesus. John leapt in her womb, and he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And so they were both righteous people before God, walking in all commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. They were from the tribe Levi, which is the priesthood of the Israelites. He was set apart from the womb, and his ministry. Oh, I've read off this one. Hey, that's better. His message: repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And that's part of the message which we go out and preach. Okay, next one, please. So, what were the characteristics of John the Baptist? He was chosen by God from before birth to have a special ministry, specifically to fulfill the prophecies in the Old Testament that a forerunner would go before the Christ to prepare the way of the Lord, and his life would be characterized by abstinence, self-control, and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And again, as I said, you know, when Mary came to visit Elizabeth, and John leapt in the womb, that's when he was filled with the Spirit. One of the things that struck me, you know, in those early days, the Holy Spirit would come on people, but he didn't always stay. It wasn't until after, when Jesus had gone up and come back down again, and told their disciples, "Wait, for you'll receive the Holy Spirit." So John was humble in his writings. You can read the writings of John, he called himself the disciple whom Jesus loved. Yet John was very aggressive in dealing with heresies in the church. I know somebody who's quite firm against that too. And I think it's right. We should be aggressive against those who bring heresies into the church. And we see that in a number of churches today. While at the same time remaining very loving and gentle. So you can be aggressive at times within the things of the Spirit of God, but you've still got to be loving and gentle. Okay? John's unapologetic decision to speak out for what he believed and for the laws of God eventually cost him his life. I mean, you know, God calls us and he equips us. So when he calls you to do something, don't be afraid to stand up and do it. That's why I love going out into the street. You know, there's a determination and unwavering integrity gives us courage to stand up and speak out against the injustice in this world. Bold and courageous. How many people here are bold and courageous? Oh, come on.
Sometimes.
Yeah. Okay. So what were the strengths of John the Baptist? His greatest strength was his focused and faithful commitment to the call of God in his life. When God calls you, he will equip you. And if you remain faithful to that call, he will always equip you and give you the strength and the courage to carry on. Okay? Taking the Nazarite vow for life, he personified the term set apart for God. I have a couple of friends who are well into their 50s. I don't think it was their actual thing to be set up, to actually not be married or anything by this time. I think they wanted to have a wife, but somehow it hasn't worked out for them. But they know that they're set apart for God. And God did that for John the Baptist. He was set apart for a specific calling, and that was to be a forerunner to the Christ when he came. So he set out with a singular obedience to fulfill that mission, and he did. When you read the scriptures, when you go through the John's gospel, you see here, you know, he stood there, you uncircumcised, as he called those whitewashed sepulchres, and I'm not sure if that's exactly how he said it, but I thought, there's boldness there to speak out against the religious people of the day. And we've got to be bold to speak out against religion. We're not in a religion. We're in a relationship with the prince of, you know, the prince of this world, Jesus. Okay? So some of the teachings of John the Baptist, he taught people about justice, mercy, honesty, morality, fasting. Ooh, cross that one out. No. Prayer, repentance, and confession of sins. Baptism by immersion, resurrection, and the judgment. And you can look up a couple of scriptures there for that as well. So, you know, this is what we need to be showing people and teaching people. These things, justice, mercy, honesty, morality in particular. Not a lot of good morality around in some areas today. What special role did John the Baptist have? The special role St. John the Baptist had was this, that he acted as a bridge between the Old and the New Testament. And he prepared the Jews for the ministry of Jesus and told the Jews to repent. But we know that there was a period of time when that didn't happen, that people turned their backs on God. But we do know that church was started at that point. John was a unique individual, a man who definitely stood apart from the crowd. He was a country lad from the wilderness who lived and grew up in the desert regions of Judea. And I guess I'd say he was a bit of a loner. And it's interesting that when I read this, I thought, when I was in the military, even though I had a lot of friends, but when I got my report, when I got out of the army and they gave me the documents and stuff, they put down, he is a loner. I am far from being a loner today. I love being around people. I love preaching the gospel. So, you know, he had been born into a priestly family, but he took neither his father's name or his profession. Okay, so these are just some of the characteristics in short, really. Humility, self-control, courage, devotion, prophecy, teaching. Is that all right?
Excellent. Well done, Steve. So I guess you've earned your chockies. So there's probably a few in there if you feel like you want to share them around.
Yeah.
You might do.
I shared the box as well.
You did? Oh, very good. Okay, wonderful, wonderful. Well done. And I didn't want to skip over the work and life of John the Baptist. Thank you, Steve, for the work you've done on that. A key character, and as we saw last week, a pivotal character. Obviously, Jesus is where the Bible separates between the Old and New Testament, but as we'll see today, as we look at the passage, there's more even to John the Baptist that speaks to us, and it would be a shame if we skipped over the characteristics that Steve's brought to us and thought, that doesn't relate to me, that's something that John the Baptist did, and Steve the Baptist does, and other people that go out and do street ministry. There's, I think, a lot in there for all of us in considering what those of us who are called to be forerunners and those who are called to be messengers, which are all of us. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this man. And as we hear more about today, about his example to us and what it is he spoke and the way in which history was divided From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom is preached and people are rushing into it, pressing into it. People are committing violence or committing very, very clear, strong understanding. And so far, very clear and strong efforts in order to get into the kingdom. Father, we know there's a world that if they just know of you, would be rushing in that same way. Help us in the example of John the Baptist and in our role as messengers. Thank you, Father. Amen. So I just want to continue on with what Steve started, just with a couple of points, really. And I want us to turn, if we could, please, to the passage in Matthew chapter 11, and looking at the next part that we had a look at. We've been working through Matthew 11 and looking, obviously, at John the Baptist. Reading from verse 12 today in Matthew 11. So connecting the verse before, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violence take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you are willing to receive it, he is Elijah who is to come. And in that passage, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. But to what shall I liken this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling to their companions and saying, we played the flute for you, but you did not dance. We mourned to you, and you did not lament. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, he is a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, look, a glutton and a wine bibber, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. But wisdom is justified by her children. Father, I just would pray that any time that Steve and I have spent putting into this combined message today would be justified, and it would be, Lord, that we would learn. Wisdom would be justified by her children, and you would speak to us, Lord, of what it is that we would do as a response to this combined message today. Thank you, Father. Amen. I realised a wee while ago that I had certain verses I'd read through the Bible years ago, and they'd struck me, and I asked someone, does that verse really strike you? And they say, yeah, but I've got other ones. So it's not necessarily the same verses, of course, will speak out to all of us. I've often spoke of Daniel 11, 32b, and it speaks clearly. I've actually forgotten it right at the moment. Someone remind me of that. Daniel 11:32. Isn't that great? It started off with a verse I can't remember. Someone look up for me. Yes, those who know their God should be strong and carry out great exploits. It's the second half of verse 32b, and it always struck me. Not what I'm going to speak on today, but it always struck me. And there's another verse that I've started with today, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violence take it by force. Always struck me as a verse, what is that about? Never really looked into it as much as I should have. I should have taken the time, even in my normal daily readings, when I read it, and probably over the years, probably come across this in reading through the Bible two or three times. But today, being a verse that I am speaking on and being one that particularly struck me, I never really got my head around it. And I want today to look at this particular verse that we understand what's going on. And I just want to paint the picture before we do of the two sets of people that we're talking about. Firstly, the multitudes who Jesus was speaking to, and then, of course, the religious teachers of the day. It's been really interesting that a number of times in our time together so far that people have talked about the difference between religion and relationship, as Steve put it, and understanding what was going on and the tension that was happening. The religious leaders of the day had become very established. They were, in the way they presented, also a very presentable group of people. They dressed very finely. They had their temple that was set up in a very prominent place, in the very central place in Jerusalem, as you'll know. And there was a lot going on with the religious people. And, of course, John and Jesus didn't really, we see this increasing tension and clashing. They didn't fit the narrative. They weren't coming in the same way and the same form as the format, the structure, the appearance of the religion for the day. So contrasting with these people, and we can probably see some parallels the presentation values that we see in some parts of the church today. Contrasted with them was the multitudes, and I spoke about them last week. Some of the multitude are there, and there was a contrast between the three parts of any particular crowd. Those who are there because of the cause they've come to particularly speak about. Those who are there because of the excitement, and those who are there just to stir trouble. So you can imagine, and it's called the multitude. The word in Greek is poloi, where we get hoi poloi from, a sort of a mixture, a melee of people that are there for all sorts of reasons. And only a few there necessarily to find out about John the Baptist. So you couldn't imagine two more disparate groups of people. And so Jesus is speaking, while directly to the multitudes, we had those disapproving people who were referred to in the second part of the message today around the edge. So that's the context, and that's what's going on here. But he speaks about the kingdom of heaven suffering violence, and the violence take it by force. Now, imagine if you had a very established, presentable, ordered, and clean and tidy religious process or way in which things should be. And all of a sudden, this guy comes along and said, I'm preparing the way of the Lord. And now, the way he does this is it's probably slightly different to how we might do it. And I want to read just a little commentary I've mentioned before about a commentary, John Gill and others, etc. There's a new commentary that's come on. I've just discovered it recently. It's a guy just by the name of L. And I would really recommend that you check out L's commentaries. And you see it sometimes in your searching. It said, L has generated this. So it's a great commentary. And I want to read just a summary of John's message. We saw about the characteristics of him. And this is provided by L on the Google search. So John's message challenged the Jewish people's assumption they're already included in the kingdom of heaven because they were part of God's chosen nation. That was considered to be the understanding. We're already in. We don't need any of this new stuff. You need to become like us. He then, this is John the Baptist, declared that God could raise Abraham from stones and that repentance was necessary for all people. This was a huge challenge to the existing order. In conclusion, John had the Baptist ministry had a profound and lasting impact on the spread of Christianity. We see that in hindsight. His call to repentance, identification of Jesus as the Lamb of God, and practice of baptism prepared the hearts of the people for the coming Messiah. So we talked about the context of the religious leaders of the day. We've talked about the multitudes that came to see John. And then we've got John in this sort of division of history speaking and saying, I've come to prepare for someone who's coming afterwards, and this is what it's going to look like. Many or much of the established order that you've understood is actually not the case. So you can imagine he was very unpopular. But what Jesus is doing by confirming John, we mentioned before John was incredibly, even though he'd been told that he was the forerunner and the messenger, actually says to Jesus, are you the one or should we look for someone else? Jesus honors this misunderstanding by coming back and saying, this person, because of the division of history that happened at his time, from the days of John the Baptist, from when he was born until now, people are pressing into the kingdom. That's the Lucan version, or the book of Luke, we see that. People are pressing into it, and the way that Matthew puts it is the kingdom of heaven suffers violence. So the words pressing in Luke's gospel and the words violence and violent are all the same. It's a very aggressive word, biazo, which means to push in regardless of consequence. And what it's referring to is these crowds of multitudes are saying, I have finally heard something. Don't want to pick on Kieran or embarrass him in any way, but there's a point in which for Kieran and for all of us, we finally understand, and we're going to press in until we get to the bottom of this and we come to a conclusion. And that's what was going on. The ordered religious people of the day already had a way and a method. There was a process of purification. Firstly, if you weren't a Jew, you couldn't come in. There was sort of the scraps were left for you. And we see this through the teaching of Jesus and understanding all the way through the Bible. These very scraps that the Jews were going to deign to leave is what the children wanted to take and come and understand. And we see this playing out in this story here. The kingdom of heaven suffers violence because the violent were the multitudes who said, I need to find out what this is. Coming in a very messy way, coming in a very unordered way. And if we think about even the very dress that we've got going on. Now, Jesus is spoken to clearly, I'll get to this shortly, by the friends and the characters that he kept. He's a friend of sinners. So think about the two sinners, the two groups of sinners. We have essentially the prostitutes, the woman, and we have the tax collectors, the men, considered in Jewish culture to be the lowest of the low. These are the people that were pressing in and wanted to come in to the kingdom. The kingdom has been prepared for such a time as this. This is good news to the poor. Contrast this noisy, smelly, messy, lowest of the low, pressing into the kingdom. And incredibly, the religious orders of the days are looking at Jesus saying, surely, and John, surely this isn't what you came to bring in. These people, this can't be the people that are coming in. But as Jesus confirmed, it's going to look violent, it's going to look messy, and they're going to press in without any consequence. If we understand the context of this particular verse and what it means for today, because from the days of John the Baptist until now, even today, we will see and observe those who are the most surprising people who will come, and they'll come, and not only will they come, they'll come and be some of the most effective, amazing evangelists. We hear a lot about Ray Comfort, and Ray Comfort has been involved in ministry for many, many years. And he became a Christian out of a context where he'd been traveling around all of the different churches and going out with all the girls in the church. He found that, you know, it was easy to go on to a youth group and say a few choice words and be thought a keen youth group member, go out with all the girls that he wanted to, and then flick on to the next youth group. It was a bit of a thing. Some of you may remember those days. But there was a particular point where God convicted him of his particular situation, and he realized that it wasn't just a case of going around and going out with girls in youth group, but there was much more that God was calling him to. And he thought, because of his background, and he was even then someone who spoke quite well, that God would call him to a prominent position. But God called him to the east of Christchurch, and he found that when he was speaking on the streets in the square on Friday nights, which tended to be arguably a slightly wealthier crowd, compared to going to the east or various places that he was speaking. And he had a bit of a phrase that he said that the cockabillies are often caught in the mud. And what he meant by that, after a while, he discovered that if he cast his net into the mud, he would catch much more cockabillies than he would if it was in the free-flowing water. Now, the purpose of fishing for cockabillies, what are they, small frogs or something? Just tiny wee fish, is to catch them. You don't go for cockabillies and not catch them. And so you might say, I don't want to go fishing for cockabillies in the mud. Well, in the mud is where the cockabillies are. And it would appear that for Ray's ministry for the first few years in the development of his ministry, he needed to go where the people who were violently hungry. He said when these people came, it was almost falling over themselves. Do you mean this could actually be real? Could it be that there is a God who created me, that loves me, is wanting to draw me and going to save me for an eternity in hell? Could that actually be the case? And as he said, if you want to catch the cockabillies, you go where the cockabillies are. We have still the same situation today, the same generational situation, or not the same generation. We have the same division between those who have the very ordered, very presentable style and size. And really, if the violent, the messy, the smelly, the dirty went along, there would not be considered to be a place for them. And they may say, this is not a place that, not to talk about the church setting, but this religion, this understanding, this relationship, this Christianity is not for me. So the warning Jesus is giving here is an encouragement to the crowd. What you are doing is the way the kingdom is actually laid out. This is what it will be like. And it was a warning to those standing on the side that from the days of John the Baptist until now, speaking actually in the future, until the great day of the Lord, the day of judgment. And secondly and lastly, and as you see, I've skipped over it, if you are willing to receive it, here's Elijah who is to come. And before I get to, he has ears to hear, let him hear. Understanding here that the Elijah aspect is, if we look, we could study right through the Gospels and see the connection between John the Baptist and Elijah. Elijah, as we know, went before Elisha. Elisha waited and had a greater or a double blessing because he saw Elijah depart and asked for that. Jesus had a much bigger blessing than John, but John had the biggest blessing of every man from then until now, including now. And Jesus had the greater blessing. Elijah was the forerunner for Elisha. John was the forerunner for Jesus. And if we see a third Elijah, because Elijah is spoken about in Scripture at the great and terrible day of the Lord, we may well see a second John. And what I mean by that is the forerunner that goes before. We must not miss the message. And the message clearly given here is that there is someone who's going to come along as a forerunner before Jesus returns. We don't know when that's going to be. I heard a few things about the American election that maybe there's a bit more time and a bit more grace. I'm not going to comment one way or the other. However, for some of us, we may see it and understand that it's very soon before the great day of the Lord. However, whenever that is, there will be those who are forerunners who will speak. And I want to invite us to consider that it's not just going to be John the Baptist. One of the things we may make the mistake of doing, could I say, and I hear this sometimes in ministry, isn't it great we've got guys like Steve who can go out in the streets for us? Isn't it great that Nick and the team with Street Mini, they go out and do that? Now, yes, it is. But can I help us to understand and reinforce again the as-you-go nature of the Great Commission? Go into all the world as you go. That applies for all of us as messengers. So please let us understand, while this might be difficult, and that's why we're in a community of faith, we are to encourage one another as iron sharpens iron. And as Steve has said, I'm not picking on Steve, but he brought it up, so fair game. Steve said fasting, and he wanted to cut that out because it's not easy. We have a week of prayer. Now, some of us will be encouraged to fast, even just for the day they come or for longer than that. I want to encourage us. We desire to see change. We desire to see a change in the heavenlies in our community. And what the Lord is saying to us for 2025, which is why we have the week of prayer. I don't think I'm clumsily building this into my message because of that, but I want to emphasize that some of the things and the characteristics of John the Baptist, we haven't brought this to you. Steve didn't bring the character study and the preaching today. It's just information. If a message is like that, it's not really a message that is about application. It's more just about information. Consider maybe that and we'll bring up at the end of the service, we'll bring Steve's characteristics up on there, and it may be that we want to consider, hey, maybe there's an area here that I can work on. Some part of being the messenger is a characteristic that God is calling and wanting to develop in me. I just want to leave us with that encouragement. But finishing off for today, the second part here, how shall I liken this generation? So there's a but, of course, in there, which in the original language is just in the same way that we would have a but, is all of this is before, but actually I'm going to speak to all of you who are listening and saying, but what are you guys like? How is it that you are? All of you, you're like children sitting and saying, we played the flute for you, didn't dance. We mourned to you and did not lament, for John came neither eating nor drinking. And then compares John to those who was too serious and Jesus to those who are not serious enough. And we'll often find that we have a particular, I don't want to use the word religious, but we probably have a Christian cultural understanding that is it's like a personal bubble. You ever considered that we walk around believing that all of those at Beacon and Baptist are largely much like us, which is why we've ended up gathering together for such a time as this? Probably not if we actually dig a bit deeper, but it may be what we feel, that actually most people are much like us, and there may be a large degree of that's true. But by and large, we consider that there's certain people that are outside of our bubble. They're a bit serious, and other people are a bit casual. That quirky pastor bloke, he wears jandals, well, that's just a bit casual. And it might be. And it might be something. Or other people are a bit serious. What, Saturday mornings, getting up? Saturday mornings is sleeping time. That's a bit serious to be going downtown. Now, I don't sense in any way at all there's any judgment from anyone necessarily. Not at all. I just want to put that out very clearly. You can feel that sometimes in situations where people have decided that what you're doing is not right. As a church, we have a reputation for being fundamentalist because we tell people about heaven and hell. We take time on Saturday mornings to go out and through the week and at the university and at Jesus Club and in many, many ways. In fact, I often find us I actually miss and don't think of all of the ways in which we're going because fundamentally, the folk that don't know the Lord, I mean, we know this as a fundamental truth, are going to head towards a crisis eternity unless there's an intervention from such as us, from messengers. And we would look and say, man, that particular person will need a tougher person than me, if we're honest, to actually go and intervene. And if we understand that it doesn't need to be our bubble, it will include everyone, and relax in that, understand that the warning here that can be given to us, we need to heed the warning. Let us not be the people that say, John the Baptist, you're too serious. Jesus, you're not serious enough. John, you're too serious. Jesus, you're too casual. The bubble or the context of my Christian understanding must be in these confines. And if we do that, we will find that there's a lot of people that, A, we will be offended by one way or another. Whether you're offended by them being not serious enough, hey, you should be fasting because that's what the religious people do. You're not fasting. And look at the people you're mixing with. I can't possibly take you serious, Jesus. And there will be people today. The same generational transference, if you like, is carried on today where people say, the way Jesus is portrayed, I couldn't possibly accept that. But if it's the Jesus of the Bible, that's who he is. It's us that needs to change. And firstly, when we change and consider those that is that we are speaking to, we will have all of those arguments and all of those discussions. And Cam before gave us some example of how we can school up, how we can get ready, how we can get prepared. As iron sharpens iron, not so that AI or ChatGPT is an iron, but it's that same sort of thing in considering how are we ready. So I finish with an encouragement that's a warning, I guess you'd call it an exhortation. Have we become, even in the midst of our rather rudimentary situation, do we become a bit sort of respectable after a while and say, the Jesus that I follow isn't the Jesus of the rabble-rousing or the hoi polloi, the multitudes. It's a more refined Jesus. And also I've seen those fundamentalist people that go out and do that. And we might even find ourselves saying that within the church here at Beckenham. We might relate to the others who say that we are because that might not be something that we're called to do. And that may be the case. But have we become those sorts of people? In the last verse here, but wisdom is justified by her children. Just want to finish with this verse, which talks about the wisdom of he who is wise wins souls, and various translations put it in other ways. I always remember the old King James, winneth. He who is wise winneth souls. So if we were to consider who are the wise amongst us, those who have a heart, no, it might not be directly. Maybe they're indirectly through your support and prayers and encouragement. I've got the board ready for the week of prayer over the other way, but for all those prodigals that are there. Wisdom is justified by her children. Have we been wise in understanding the context of us and our role as messengers, directly or indirectly? So I want to close and encourage us today to understand the messiness and the violence of those who want to come into the kingdom. And asking us to be a bit more gracious in the way we might see our Christian, I think I used the word ecosystem, or our Christian understanding or context. It can be a lot broader than that. And maybe one of the applications of today is to reach out to someone who is a bit more fundamentalist than us, shall I put it that way, and encourage them and say, hey, that's not me, but I just want to encourage you because you will reach people that I won't. And maybe on the other side, there may be people that are a bit more casual than you that see things a little differently, not so much theologically, but in terms of their expression. and say, hey, if I've ever seemed a little bit crusty or a little bit sort of straight-laced, etc., I just want to encourage you in what you're doing, because again, you reach people that I won't. And as we put the board up at the end, thanks Michael, we'll just put up that summary of the characteristics of John the Baptist. I want to leave that up there between now and when we have our meeting to consider what it is that he might be saying to us about the characteristics that God will want to develop in me and all of us. Let's pray. Father, not that we're moving on from John the Baptist, but as we look at other contexts going forward, we ask that this man, this messenger, who was greater than all of the prophets, we mustn't miss that, was there for a significant reason and purpose to be a messenger before. Father, in some small way, each of us are called to be messengers before, and we've seen testimony after testimony of the fact that people are hungry today. They're wanting to hear. Lord, could we just park once and for all this understanding that people don't want to hear? I understand that many of us, Lord, may have had situations where we thought we're being the messenger, and the people may have been outside of our bubble maybe, but we've seen no response and no contact. Thank you for the example of someone who, in his determination to be obedient to what he was called to do, had to go out in the wilderness, and yet people were drawn in. Not the respectable people necessarily, but people's souls, all the same at the end of the day. Thank you, Lord, for your word to us. Encourage and challenge, Lord, that we would consider what it is that you are calling us to do and the characteristics of John the Baptist that we are to emulate today and going forward. Amen.